Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares stories of spiritual awakening, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and I am delighted to welcome Barry Eaton, and we're talking to him from Australia. And he's the author of The Joy of Living, Postponing the Afterlife. Barry shares his story of surviving cancer through mind, body, spiritual healing, and an understanding of life in its infinite possibilities. And as a medium and qualified astrologer, Barry's first book, Afterlife, Uncovering the Secrets of Life After Death, is a classic among spiritual readers. Hello, Barry, and thank you for joining us today.
Hello, Cheryl. It's delightful to be here.
You know, Barry, as listeners of Healing From Within are so well aware, my guests and I share our interest in understanding the universal laws of energy and how to use our spiritual awareness to merge the duality, well, the supposing duality, of physical and energetic presence so we may manifest healthier, more joyful life experiences and grow within as we enjoy the world of nature, personal relationships, and a purposeful life journey. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Barry Eaton will share how to use an experience with the spirit world to deal with and survive physical life challenges, and in the process learn more about our life's purpose. Well, many of us understand that there is no death, only a transition from the physical body to the soul's journey in new life. Still, we encourage and express love for this gift of life and to fully use our soul wisdom to move through all life's challenges as long as our life plan allows. Barry, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and to remember a person, place, or event that may have been a precursor to knowing the path they would travel and the life they would pursue as an adult. Because children are quite aware of many things, and while they might not express it because we're not asking them the right questions, if you listen closely to them, there's great wisdom.
So think, yeah, that's very true.
Think back for a minute.
Well, look, I can't think back to anything. I had a very conservative upbringing as a child. My father was a bank manager. My mother had home duties, and we had a very happy childhood. But I was always besotted with radio, and I used to, at a fairly young age, always have my ear pressed up against the radio because we had the big radios in those days with speakers and that. And then when I could, I used to slip off from school and go and watch radio programs being recorded and broadcast and whatever. So I used to haunt radio studios as a very, very young person. And this was the precursor for me as a communicator. And when I left school, I was pushed into sort of studying law, but that didn't work out. So I went to the theatre and then straight into broadcasting, where I've been ever since as a professional radio and TV anchor, producer, writer. All of these other things emerged, and then so did my spiritual practices emerge much later in life. But I believe that the precursor for all of this was this passion, this fascination with radio, and that came from within me. That didn't come from anybody within my life, because, yeah, we all used to listen to the radio and we all loved that, but they were leading a very, very different life to the life that I eventually took on in this particular lifetime, and that is of communication and ultimately communicating outwardly, but learning how to communicate inwardly, if that makes sense.
Sure it does. Maybe as a child you were already listening to the communication of the universe or the divine or spirit, whatever people choose to call it, as an intuitive medium. I also, as a child, was sensitive to energy and to thoughts. And when I was following them, I sort of always thought, oh, it was just my good sense, or it was my wishing to be a dutiful child. I grew up in a family like yours, very methodical. Right? And the thought of the frivolous or supernatural or spiritual was not really impressed on me or imprinted on me, but it was there nonetheless. So I kind of think, maybe your skills and gifts were there and you were going to communicate the message of the universe as I do now in this radio show, Healing from Within. So from within is our sense of life. In its totality, in its oneness and unity, and its eternal nature. And we had it with us as children, and we were born to do exactly what we're doing now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. And it's even though our outward circumstances at the time may not reflect where we end up, if
Right.
we're brought up in a fairly conservative or a religious society or anything like that, which I wasn't, but I was still brought up with religion. But since then, I've moved along a much different path of spiritual learning and understanding. So all of these things, I think, unfold, particularly in my generation, where the younger people now, a lot of them are starting a lot younger than we did. But it was a very different kind of society when I was born and grew up in the late 40s and 50s, and it was a very, very different society than it is today. And thank heavens, we are emerging as a society, as a civilization, into far more spiritual beliefs and understanding, and looking for the answers to the universe, looking for the answers to the mysteries that our parents would have just pushed to one side and said, "Oh no, well, we can't do anything about that. Let's go and have a game of golf, or go and have a picnic or something." And that's fine. That's fine. When the
Well,
times happen,
yeah.
what's needed, well, we respond to them, and that's exactly, I think, what we're doing now.
Yes, and Barry, what we're also doing is retrieving from ancient societies and cultures that understood the connection to nature and the universe and our energetic presence or soul nature. It was there, but it was lost in the industrialization process and now with social media. So there is a return and a need, and many of the souls or children being born now are coming in with a very instinctive understanding and need to bring our society forward, but not without the values and the understandings of past cultures and civilizations, but to bring it back into practice so we can be healthier and merge our duality as spiritual and physical beings. So yes, you and I grew up in the same time, and it was harder, and it took us a little longer to find this because we were taken away from it, and it still found its way from within us so we could share it today with everybody else. But let's go on to, let's fast forward. Why did you decide to write The Joy of Living? It is not really a total departure from your previous books on the afterlife, but it engages another experience in your life that may have taught you other things. So
Yeah, well, it came from spiritual guidance on this one as well, Cheryl. I was guided from spirit to write my first two books. My late partner, Judy, kept on nagging me from spirit before I wrote Afterlife. And then the sequel to that is a book called No Goodbyes. So that's all about the journey through the afterlife and contact with. I have a very strong spirit team that I'm in communication with a lot of the time. And that helped me write the first two books. But when I was diagnosed with cancer, everybody in my family and friends thought, "Oh, well, that's it. All he'll do now is go up and live in a cave somewhere and eat raw vegetables, and that'll be the last we ever see of him." But I recoursed to my normal practice of meditation, deep meditation, and I got in touch with my own guides, and I was given some pretty clear instructions after a while, after I was able to face the facts of what was going on with the medical side of things, with the tests. Knowing the fact that I had a throat tumor and knowing the fact that my thyroid had to be removed in two different operations. And I was faced with the medical side where I was told, "Yes, you are going to have chemotherapy or radiotherapy." And I said, "Well, from a start, chemotherapy, you couldn't drag me with wild horses to have chemotherapy." My intuition screamed at me on that one. And I was really considering what options I had purely down the natural path. But my spirit team, particularly my guide, who's a very, very strong person, has wonderful, wonderful connections with me, or I with him, said, no, what we want you to do is to combine the holistic side of treatment with the mainstream side. I thought, oh, really? And so I, being a trusting person now these days with my spiritual guidance, I went down that path, and they said they would open doors for me, and they said, at the end of this, what we want you to do is to write a book. So I thought, well, that's interesting, because I would never have thought of going through all of this and then writing a book. You know, when you're going through something like cancer, a life-threatening kind of situation like that, the last thing you think about is, oh, I'll get through this and write a book. You know, that's, and I didn't write the book to make money or anything like that. I wrote the book to be able to share the experiences that I went through and to help inspire other people to take on the sense of responsibility that I was encouraged to take. Self-responsibility, rather than just waiting for the medical team, the medical establishment to say, this is what you have to do. So they said to me, all right, no, we agree with you, no chemotherapy, but we want you to have radiotherapy. So I had to sort of think long and hard about this. And in the end, I did a lot of research. I went along and went to the hospitals and whatever, and I was able to come to terms with myself. And that was the beginning of the journey, when I agreed to do this. Now, the spirit team said to me, we will help open doors for you along the way on the holistic side, the mind-body-soul side. And as such, everything I did, once I agreed, and much to the surprise of my family, who they thought I'd be, you know, being dragged down from the mountain feet first or something at the end of all this. But once I agreed to go through this whole procedure, doors did start to open. People came into my life. Situations happened. I had all sorts of help from the material side of things, helping me find a place to live when I had to go to hospital for a couple of months and have all these 35 different radiation treatments, right through to all the healers and everything and everybody that came into my life. Things just fell into place, Cheryl. It was quite amazing. And I knew then that I was being spiritually guided, and I knew that there was a purpose to all of this. And I knew that when I get to write this book, then there is a purpose. And what I realized afterwards, I thought, okay, it makes sense writing a book like this, because more people are going to take notice of combining holistic and mainstream rather than just turning around and going straight down the natural therapy route. The skepticism, cynicism of people in that area has to be sort of at least acknowledged, so that then we can go on and say, okay, there are many ways of doing this. So I realized with the hindsight that this was the way to go, and my spirit team were right there on the ball.
And absolutely, I believe that was one of the reasons you had to experience this, so you could share it with readers of your book and discuss it this way. Because I think the time has come when people are becoming more aware of their energetic or soul presence that survives physical death, and we're very much more than the physical. And this is a way for spirit to talk through you, through your experiences. And just think about it for a minute. Why would so many healers, I interview many people, and many are healers, and many have experienced serious challenges and health issues, and people expect healers to heal others, so certainly they can heal themselves. But we need these experiences. The soul needs the experience in order for us all to learn trust. Trust in our spirit guides, trust in the universe, trust in the divine universal presence, trust in learning about energy and who we really are. And I have a story similar to yours. As a Reiki energy practitioner, very early on at the beginning, I had a man come to me who had throat cancer, right?
Yep.
And in the reading I did for him, his mother came through and quite specifically said to me he would move through his challenge and be okay. And after the session, he told me he didn't want to have surgery and radiation, only do energy work. And I very quickly responded, maybe I was channeling his mother or a guide, that he needed to do both. And many times in interviewing guests on this show, there have been people diagnosed with serious conditions who have healed them by changing their environment, their levels of stress, engaging in spiritual growth and energy healing, practicing Tai Chi and yoga, rebalancing their physical life and their own personal needs while improving their thoughts and engaging in life with new perceptions. But you're right. We need to merge the allopathic and the alternative practices for the most effective treatment to develop multi-dimensional level healing on a spiritual mind and body. So exactly what you said is exactly right, and maybe why you had to go through the situation you had to go through.
Well, there was a lot of personal thing in this, a lot of lessons I had to learn, everything like that myself. But I agree with you that the fact is that with community, we have been so reliant on mainstream, I won't say traditional, because I believe traditional is down the herbal route and the natural route, but mainstream medicine and science, which has taken over in the last couple of hundred years. And we are so absolutely taken over by all this as a society. We need to be able to learn how to bring the two worlds together, the alternative, the natural, along with the mainstream medical. Because the people out there are so much in the thrall of the pharmaceutical companies and doctors who have absolutely no vision beyond what their medical training tells them. And once we can break through that barrier and we can start to bring the two worlds together, then we can get what is really needed in this world overall, and that is balance. Balance without going to extremes one way or the other.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm working on a new book now called New Life Awaits, Create Your Best Afterlife by Living Consciously Now. And I relate many stories of allopathic medicine, traditional medicine, as you said, herbal, and alternative healing practices for the treatment of cancer, which would be less invasive and offer successful results. And I wrote this: in recent days, I have seen so many people being affected by cancer. It seems we have reached epidemic proportions alongside other seriously challenging ailments attributed to an aging population and the stresses of modern day life. Many have forgotten what our religious institutions and spiritual practices have always held dear: the fact that the soul is an energy force of eternal magnitude, and new life awaits us beyond illness, beyond fear, beyond sorrow or pain. But the focus while living must be to live with joy, hope, and a full appreciation for life. Sometimes a disease or tragedy or changes in the world condition may help us to reconnect to our eternal truths and further our soul growth. So that's absolutely what you're saying about, you know, 40% of doctors coming out now are going into cancer treatment because it's so lucrative. And it's a story of the world, and the FDA here in the United States do not promote alternative healing. And it's time, because I've interviewed many people who have healed successfully using a combination of both, and there's a need for what we're talking about, and we have to go beyond our mind and training that way to think from within to access the old way of living simply and in coordination with the earth and the universe, our spiritual energy from above and below. And healing can happen in so many areas of our life, not only in relation to disease, which is actually the body just projecting what's going on in our thoughts and in our environment, which needs an adjustment, an alignment to spirit and to higher thinking. So that's what you discovered from your situation. And
well, it's not only discovering all of that, it's also working how we can work within the system of our families and society as well, because I co-wrote this book actually with my partner Anne Mordenoff, and Anne gave me that vital support that we need, and that's the support of love, the support that I needed to go through all of this. incredible experience. Without her support, it would have been a very different story. I write in the book about in depth about all my own experiences, my own feelings, and how the holistic side of it opened up and everything like that. But Anne then wrote about what it meant to be a caregiver. And I think this is where it is so important, and this is the spiritual connection that we also need in the physical sense here of our partners, our loved ones, our family, our friends, and that support is so vital. When I was having my treatment, I saw some people there who were obviously on their own, had no support, and they were just, they looked tragic, they looked so sad. And I thought, you're going home after all of this invasive kind of treatment to perhaps an empty house, perhaps somebody who just doesn't understand what's going on or not interested or whatever, and I felt so sorry for them, because this support is so necessary, and that's why Anne and I decided to write this book as a team. I wrote part one and she wrote part two, and it's so important that we work in harmony with each other, and that is not only us and our partners, our family, but us and the medical system, and getting, as I said before, this balance back into our life instead of everybody heading off in their own little direction and wanting to do things all on their own, or turning around on the other hand and saying, oh, I'm opting out of all of this, I'm giving my power away, you go and fix me, doctor. I'm not going to do anything like that. I don't need to. I just need you and your team. I'll give in. I'll give my power away. And that is also just as dangerous. We have to work in harmony and we have to work in balance. And I believe that is really, really important.
Thank you very much for saying that, because the personal power you're talking about from within, that soul power, has the answers for healing and for finding trust and infinite love. And as you say, with your partner and your community, the medical community, and maybe that's part of all our journeys, to find this trust and this love that exists at all times, whether we're in this dimension or dimensions beyond here. And perhaps that's the reason for many of the challenging experiences we have. And we never want to give our personal power away and just allow any medical team, any teacher, any partner to just run the show for us. It has to be a cooperative effort. So I thank you very much for verbalizing it so beautifully that way. Now, you also talk about having met John of God, and how before, I believe it was before you were ill, that, you know, you had this challenge, that you met him. Is that so?
Well, I went to Brazil in 2008 as part of a group who visited the Casa Dominacio in Brazil, where John of God holds all of his wonderful healing sessions there. And I was there for 3 weeks, and I had some amazing experiences. I've written about it in depth in our book, The Joy of Living. I was embraced by John of God, and by the John of God is a medium, as you probably know.
Yes.
He doesn't heal himself. The various medical spirits come through him from the other side, and one of them in particular seemed to take a shine to me and made me what they call a filho da casa, a son of the house, which was a very, very honorable, it was a great honor. And I was given some tremendous help and guidance, and it changed my life completely. I went on a new path after I went there. And you go there not only for healing of physical, emotional, or spiritual, but you also go there to look at your own life and move off in different spiritual areas as well. And that's exactly what happened to me. It opened up a whole new direction. Shortly after that, I came back and wrote the first of my books, and then moving off into this whole new path that I've been working on and concentrating in, particularly for the past 9 years now. So, yeah, going to see John of God and being there and sitting up there on the stage next to him, which was what I was asked to do. There are thousands of people go through, and I was the one that was selected to sit next to him for the whole session. And he said, just sit there and open your heart. And as soon as I did that, the tears just started pouring down my face. And I'm a reasonably emotional person at the best of times, but this was just incredible. And I could feel the love, the incredible energy that was being given to me there. And he just said, open up your heart and focus on where you want to go and what you want to do. And from that moment on, everything changed for me. I'm not into gurus or anything like that, but this, I was given the opportunity of directly connecting with spirit. And a lot of other things happened as well, which, as I said, I've written about in detail in the book, The Joy of Living.
Isn't that amazing? What a gift. How beautifully you write and talk about it. So you also received more spiritual advice. How it was at about the same time that your team in the world of spirit that you were working with on your books told you about another healing treatment that was going to be very good for you. It was about these beds that were developed by John of God,
Yes.
who, as we know, is the spiritual healer and also a doctor. He's a medical doctor. So
Yeah.
tell us about this amazing bed.
Well, over there, the Casa Dominacio is on this mountain of crystal, absolutely wonderful crystals. I was able to bring back with me a couple of magnificent crystals, the energy of which is amazing, and how I use that for a lot of my connection and healing work and whatever within. But the whole area of John of God and the crystal beds is the fact that he developed this bed through the guidance of spirit, and there is a little arm comes out over the bed with seven different crystals, the colors of the chakras, and each one then is pointed at the chakra, starting off with the red for the base chakra, going right through to the white for the crown chakra, and each one of these then aligns the chakra energies. And I was working in a branch of the CASA here in New South Wales, where I live in the state of New South Wales. The crystal bed that was being used at our local CASA here, and there are only two in Australia, and I was helping run the one here, for some reason was not able to be used for a couple of months. So the people who own it said to me, they were good friends, and they said, "Look, you're having a thing. Why don't you take the crystal bed, set it up at your place, and then you can have crystal beds whenever you want. You don't have to come all the way out here." So I was able to take this crystal bed, set it up in my house over a bed, so that I could have crystal bed sessions every day leading up to my radiation, and all the way through when I used to come back for the weekend from the hospital, I could have these balancing treatments. And this helped tremendously. So I can't speak highly enough of working with the crystal bed energy.
Excellent. That's wonderful. All right. I want to thank you, Barry Eaton, author of The Joy of Living, for sharing amazing insights into your personal challenge with cancer and a wonderful look at understanding the benefits of alternative and allopathic medicine in combination with spiritual insights into the very heart and soul of being. To purchase this book and any of Barry's other books, go to radiooutthere.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, it may become clear to some listeners that the key to success in any endeavor in life resides within our own soul, courage, and personal power, and a clearer realization of who we are as a soul having a physical incarnation, most specifically to grow with greater compassion and love for self and our connection to everyone and everything. The beauty in our lives, our family, work, and nature give us the opportunity to move past fear in order to engage deeply within our memories of eternal nature and to know that we do our best when we put forth and ask for help, healing, and love, and ask those in spirit to assist us so we may have as much time allotted to us by destiny, karma, and our life plan, and to live that time with grace, hope, resiliency, and trust. It sounds simple, but of course it is not, as the negative voices of the ego mind constantly try to render this awareness inactive. All events that we encounter are not random. And if we act and think in the most productive fashion, our chances for finding peace, unity, oneness, and a movement towards joy and happiness are within reach. Barry and I would have you explore your views about life, death, afterlife, reincarnation, and before making any judgment, perhaps meditate, go to some classes, and explore the ideas of quantum physics and metaphysics to validate and review the miracles that are happening in everyone's life. If only we all open our hearts and become more aware. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, cherylglick.com, to read about and listen to leaders in the metaphysical, scientific, spiritual, and educational fields share their own amazing discoveries about living with authenticity and well-being. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.